Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
God's providence refers to the way God rules over the universe, the way God rules over all of the affairs of men. And even though at times it seems like, you know, men are in control, sometimes it seems like wicked men are in control, but ultimately at the end of the day, God is still providentially in charge of everything.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, in a message titled, God's Good Work for Those Who Love Him. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right. Well, let's open our Bibles once again to Romans, the 8th chapter. And we're going to look at least one more time. Can't guarantee that we won't look at it again, but I can tell you tonight we're going to look again at the 28th verse. And as we've mentioned, as many of you know, Romans 8:28 is probably the most well-known verse to Christians apart from John 3:16. It's probably, you know, maybe the second most well-known verse in the Bible. And so, you know, there's so much packed into this verse that it's a good thing to just, you know, think on it as often as we can, and, you know, no need to rush away from it. We want to get out of it all that the Lord would have for us. So I want to read it to you again tonight. Of course, we can all pretty much quote it verbatim, but let me read it to you from the ESV. And I want to read it from the ESV because the ESV is probably more exact to the way it was originally written in the Greek. And so this is the ESV rendering of Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. So we talked about the fact that God, in his great wisdom and in his amazing abilities, his power, and because of his love, how he's able to take the negatives. He's able to take even the worst circumstances that come into our lives, and ultimately he's able to turn these things into something glorious. And we don't necessarily always see that in the present, but we ultimately will see it when everything's said and done. But we do, as we mentioned, we do get to see it oftentimes in the present as well. So as we go back and look at the verse once again tonight, there are five things that Paul lists here about God's providence. That's what he's really talking about. God's providence refers to the way God rules over the universe, the way God rules over all of the affairs of men. And even though at times it seems like, you know, men are in control, sometimes it seems like wicked men are in control, but ultimately at the end of the day, God is still providentially in charge of everything. And that's what this verse reminds us of. And so we want to just take note of five things that are stated for us here in the verse. Number one, God is at work in our lives. Do you know that? Do you know that God's at work in your life? You've heard that, of course, and if you've become a Christian, you've experienced it, obviously. That's how you became a Christian, because God began to work in your life. He began to work upon your heart. He began to convict you of sin and ultimately brought you to a place where you would exercise your faith and receive Christ. But as you become a Christian, are you seeing the evidence of God working in your life? You ought to be seeing it because he is at work. He's at work in the lives of his people. And this to me is one of the most exciting things about the Christian life. To observe God at work in the lives of his people. To see firsthand the Lord doing things that, you know, you look and you realize, you know, this is God. This is something that the Lord is doing. This is something that's beyond human explanation. Let me tell you a quick story to illustrate this. I was in England, and I was at a conference in the north of England, and a group of pastors from the churches up in Scotland came to attend that meeting. And as I was talking with them and, you know, just spending some time with them, it just became really clear to me, the Lord put on my heart, you need to go up to Scotland and you need to do a conference for these guys up here. And you need to start to cultivate the ministry up in Scotland, you know, seeing it as independent from the ministry in England. I mean, these are basically two separate countries. And so the Lord put this on my heart. So I said to the group of guys, I said, you know what? I think we ought to do a conference up in Scotland. I think we ought to start focusing in on, you know, reaching Scotland and seeing more churches planted. So they were all on board. They thought that sounded like a good idea. So anyway, we made a plan, put together the conference. And last April, I went over and I did the conference. And, you know, getting there, doing the conference, it was one of those things where I just really sensed, man, Lord, that was you. This whole thing is right. It's good. People were being blessed. People were being encouraged. A lot of the pastors in the country had been discouraged for quite a while. It's pretty hard ground over there. But we walked away from the thing just sensing, man, the Lord really did something. He did something sweet. And it was kind of like a new day dawning for the ministry of Calvary Chapel over in Scotland. While we were there, we spent some time with one of the young guys that's there. His dad pastors the church that we were doing the conference at. And so a friend of mine and I, we said, hey, his name's Martin. We said, Martin, let's go into Glasgow. Take us in and let us, you know, we want to just go into the city center. We want to see the city of Glasgow. So we went into Glasgow and we were walking around, and it was April, but it was a amazingly warm April evening. It's about 70 degrees. We're walking around in t-shirts in Glasgow and just having a great time talking and sharing with Martin. Martin's married to a girl named Maddie. She's actually the sister of Jasmine, who played the piano tonight. And he has been in the ministry, went to the Bible college here. He's been in the ministry with his dad, but he was finishing up his degree and planning to move to California. And he had a job offer with a firm here, and that's pretty much what they were looking forward to doing. So we go over, we take Martin, we go into Glasgow, we're walking around, and Phil and I, who were with him, you know, both of us simultaneously, we just looked at him and said, Martin, you know, what are you thinking about for the future? What are your plans? So he told us, yeah, we're going to go to California. That's the plan. I'm going to graduate here pretty quickly, so on and so forth. And Phil and I both looked at him and said, no, Martin, listen. You're Scottish, you're 30 years old, God wants to do a work in this country, and he wants to use guys like you. And, you know, we were really gentle about it. We were really nice about it. We're going to ruin your plans right now. We're going to mess with your life, but we're going to do it nicely. And so, you know, he was open. He said, you know, I'm open. I don't, you know, whatever the Lord wants. That's kind of our plan. So we just had this great conversation. We encouraged him. And both of us said, look, we're not telling you what to do with your life. We're not saying, thus says the Lord, you've got to do this. This is just what we're sensing. We're just feeling like God wants us to share this stuff with you.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website, and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
So he says, okay. So the next day, we're staying out in this hotel that was a ways away from the conference. So Maddie came out to pick us up, and we get in the car, and Maddie says to me, she says, so you had a conversation with my husband last night? And we said, yeah, yes, we did. And so, you know, she kind of smiled, and she said, I want to tell you something. She said, 6 months ago, she said, I was really kind of just stressing out about the future. I was just saying, Lord, what's the plan? And should we go back to the States and all of this kind of stuff? And she said, the Lord spoke to her very clearly and said, don't worry about a thing. In the spring, everything will become clear. She tells me that. And I said, well, it's springtime. It's 70 degrees right now in Scotland. It's April. It's springtime. And she said, I know. She said, that's the clarity that God promised. So the Lord had given that word that in the spring he would make it clear. So they decided, we're not going to even pursue the opportunity in California. We're just going to stay here. We're going to plug in. We're going to do ministry. Martin said, I'm going to help my dad. I'm going to work with him. And so we told him, hey, just be patient. Don't worry. You don't have to figure out next week what this is all about. Just trust the Lord. Just look to him. And somebody said to him, it'll probably be like 10 years before you ever really figure out exactly what this means. And when I heard that, I thought, no, let me tell you right now, it's not going to take 10 years. I just said that to him, but I didn't know specifically why, but I just knew, no, 10 years, it's not going to take 10 years. Okay, so fast forward to a couple weeks ago. I get a call from another friend in Scotland, Matt McGoldrick. And so, Matt's emailing me saying, Brian, I want to call you. I need to talk to you. And I said, okay, call me at such and such a time. I said to Cheryl, I said, Matt McGoldrick's calling me in the morning, and I'm going to tell you, he's going to tell me that he's leaving Scotland. And so sure enough, Matt calls me, and he says, Brian, craziest thing has happened. I feel like the Lord's leading us out of Scotland. He's been a missionary there for 10 years. He said, I feel like the Lord's leading us back to the States. So he tells me this crazy story about a pastor in Georgia who supports them as missionaries, how this guy has on his heart, you need to call Matt McGoldrick and bring him here and bring him on staff to work with you. And the guy's saying, Matt will never come. He'll never leave Scotland. Matt is in Scotland, and the Lord's speaking to him saying, Matt, I'm calling you out of Scotland. Matt's saying, no, Lord, you can't call me out of Scotland. I just got dual citizenship. I can't leave. I love this place. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay here the rest of my life. But the Lord keeps, every time he goes to his devotions, the Lord's speaking to him in some way saying, I'm going to call you out of here. So Matt is kind of, as you can get over these things, he's kind of stressed out about it. And he's like, Lord, I have just got to know if this is really you, you've got to show me. That minute an email comes through. He opens the email. It's the pastor in Georgia saying, Matt, God's put on my heart to ask you to come and join our pastoral team here. So he's like, oh, okay, well, that's a pretty prompt response. I guess the Lord is in this. But then he said later to the guy, he said, what prompted you to send the email at that time? The guy says, for 6 months, and this is how long Matt's been wrestling with this, for 6 months I've been thinking to do this, but I've had all these reasons why, no, it can't be, it can't be, it can't be. And finally, he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, send him an email now. So he sent it right then at that moment. So I'm having the conversation with Matt, and he's telling me he's going. And I said, Matt, who's going to take your place? Who's going to step in? Do you have somebody there? Is there somebody that's been raised up? And he says, Brian, there's not anybody. I don't know what to do about this. He said, but the only thing that's been on my heart is it needs to be a Scottish guy. And I said, well, guess what? Martin Tatton. God has been speaking to Martin. And he's told Martin to stay in Scotland because he's got something for him to do. And the one thing that's happened over the past 6 months since we were there is Martin has developed a burden for Glasgow. And so all of a sudden, boom, as of last week, it was announced to the church, Matt's returning to the United States. Martin's going to be the pastor of this church. And here's the whole point. God is at work in the lives of his people. And I'm sure that some of you tonight have a story that you could tell. But this is the kind of thing we see. And isn't that exciting? Because you look at this thing and you realize, okay, this is all God. that we couldn't have orchestrated this. We couldn't have planned this. We didn't manipulate anything. It was God working in different parts of the world on different people's hearts to bring this thing together to fulfill his purpose for these people and this place. And the wonderful reality is this is true for every one of us who are the called according to his purpose. God is at work in our lives. Now, sometimes it's blatantly clear, like in the case that I just gave you. At other times, it's not as clear. We don't see it quite as clearly all the time, but this is what we need to know. God is always working. He's always at work. And even when we don't see it, know that he is at work. And at the appointed time, when the time is right, according to God's plan and purpose, he will bring everything together so as to confirm to you that yes, indeed, God has been at work. And one last thing with Martin, as I was talking to him on the phone today, I said, now listen, because he keeps telling me, I am just so excited, I'm so excited. And I said, man, I'm excited too. And I said, now listen, remember all those things you told me. Remember how God did this. Remember how he showed you that. Remember all this stuff, because there will come a time in the near future when you're not as excited as you are right now. Reality will set in, and you're going to be pastoring a church, and it's going to be tough, and you're going to have challenges, and you're going to have second thoughts. You're going to start second guessing yourself. You're going to start asking yourself, am I really called to do this? What am I doing here? Did I make a mistake? Did I not hear God? You're going to need to remember all this stuff. And so the Lord does these kinds of things. He's working in our lives. God is ceaselessly, energetically, purposefully active on our behalf, even when we can't see it. But thank God he gives us those occasions when it's all so clear. So God is at work in our lives. Secondly, God is at work for the good of his people. God is at work for the good of his people. The thing that God's doing in your life, whatever it might be, is for good ultimately. Now again, sometimes it's hard to see this, isn't it? Sometimes it's difficult. I mean, here we're talking tonight and we're praying for a young man in his early 30s who's pastoring a church, who has a wife and two children, and he has brain cancer. It's like, wait a second. How is God working for good in this situation? Well, you know, right now we don't know. But remember what we talked about before. We know that God is working all things together for good. How do we know it? We know it by faith. We know it because of who God is. We know because of what he's already shown us. We know because of the track record and the history. So we must remember this. God is at work for the good of his people. He's at work for the good of his people. What God is doing in your life is good. And it's good for you, even though right now it might not seem that way. Now, as I've said before, there have been things in my life that I just looked at and thought, I don't see how this can be good. And, you know, let me clarify this. Not everything that comes along is good. And we look at it and go, okay, well, this must be a good thing because God said, you know, that everything's working together for good. No, there are plenty of bad things that come along. But the thing is, God is bigger than the bad things. He's greater than those things. And he's able to take even the bad things that come, and he's able to get us beyond that and do something even through those things. So God is at work in our lives. He is at work for the good of his people. He's doing something in you personally that is going to eternally benefit you. But he's doing something in you as well, so that you might be a blessing to other people. You know, this is something we need to remember. The things that we go through are not simply for our own good or benefit, but the things we go through are designed by God to be a blessing and a benefit to other people. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies, who comforts us in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort others also." And Paul says, essentially, he says, you know, the reason we're able to minister to you and to comfort you and to encourage you and to help you through your trials is because we've been through them ourselves. And we know the comfort of God. So we can come along and say, listen, God is going to bring you comfort. He's going to bring you deliverance. He's going to bring you through this season. So God is at work in our lives. He's at work for the good of his people, you personally, people around you. But let me take it one step further. He's working in you for the good of his church. We belong to this universal body of Christ. It's an amazing thing how God works in us, and we don't even know what God is preparing us for. But, you know, as we just go on with him and as we follow him and as we walk with him, suddenly we find ourselves in a situation we just go, wow, Lord, this is amazing. You're doing something good, and you're doing it for your people, not just me or the people immediately next to me, but you had these other people in mind as well. Amazing stuff. I have to say, I don't want to embarrass Alipio, but when we were in Brazil, and Alipio spent about 11 years in Europe, and he spent almost 8 years in Portugal ministering there, and when he felt that God was calling him back here, but not sure ultimately where that was going to settle him, and he shared that with me, and I said, hey, we'll come and hang out at the Bible college for some time and teach some classes and all that, and think about Brazil. They speak Portuguese. You've been in Portugal. Think about Brazil. And he did, and he thought about it, and he prayed about it, and a couple of years have passed. But here's my point. When we were down there and us watching him interact with the people, it's like, Lord, this is amazing. It's like you've been preparing him all these years for this. It's so obvious. But we don't see that a lot of times. We can't see far enough out ahead, and we, you know, we're going through difficulties. We're going through times of maybe we're dry spiritually, or we're not feeling like God's doing anything in our lives, or we can't see where he's taking us, and everything seems dim. But then suddenly you find yourself in a place and you're like, wow, this is amazing. This. And then you can look back and you can see all of this was preparatory for this time. And so God is at work for the good of his people. And then thirdly, God works for our good in all things. Now, again, I want to reiterate that point that I made a minute ago. All things aren't good. Let's not be mistaken about that. Bad things happen. Evil things happen. But here's the good news. God works despite these things. This is the greatness of our God. Like I said previously, God is able to take these things. Some things that happen to us are definitely bad things.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl about this month's Back to Basics resource.
When I was teaching at the Bible college, I asked the young women if they had heard any lies of the devil. And when those girls began to share the lies that they were listening to, the lies that they were believing, and the lies that they heard, I was really moved. One, because I had heard some of those lies myself. Two, because I'd believed those lies. But three, because I saw the paralyzing effect and the pain that those lies were causing these young women. And at that moment, I determined that I was going to, by the grace of God, write this book and to set other women free from believing or listening to the lies that the devil, the world, and our own, you know, flesh is telling us.
So this book is really, in some ways, it's really a book on spiritual warfare, but it's written from a woman's perspective. I remember it has some apologetic aspects to it as well.
Right.
It's a great book. So
I really wanted to name it All About Eve and
All About
Me.
Eve. Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for stopping by the studios and sharing about this month's resource. You can order Cheryl's book by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you Cheryl's book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. We appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.